everybody. Here we go. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard live out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Josh Applebaum is live from Boston, Massachusetts. Josh, how are you today?
Pritch, I'm doing great. Yeah, we have so much to get to over the next couple hours. We got to go over that great Nuggets win, covering the number and on hitting on the money line around plus 220, Pritch. We also have a huge, huge game, Celtics and Heat. We have a lot of MLB. We have a big hockey game. Excited to speak to Andy McNeil later in the show. And, of course, we got baseball and looking forward to a lot of these NFL lines for week three. So excited to be back again with you on a Wednesday here, Pritch.
Excited to have you and excited, too, because I got something in mail last night, and it's Christmas in September for the Pritchard household. It's the Everything Guide to Sports Betting from Josh Applebaum. I appreciate that, my friend.
Hey, it's the least I can do, Pritch. Hey, I'm excited to work with you, and had a couple left on the shelf, so I had to give you one. Hope it helps you cash a couple plays.
You know what? I think so. I'm going to dive into this. Hopefully, I'll be done with it by the weekend. I'm serious. I'm diving into this. Always love your insight on the show, but then certainly your Market Insights podcast has been phenomenal for me, but excited about this book. So everybody out there, go out and get a few more thousand copies of The Everything Guide to Sports Betting from Josh Applebaum. So you're right. Let's get into it. It's Nuggets. A lot of people thought they would see the type of team show up in a must-win situation, and that's what they got. A lot of tickets on the Nuggets, and they cashed in that game against the Lakers last night.
Yeah, it was, and a great game to watch, Pritch, here. Obviously, the Nuggets came through, and they really could not get down 3-0 in this series, and we kind of laughed on yesterday's show saying, hey, the Nuggets got them right where they want them, and maybe they actually do. It's funny, Pritch, but yeah, this one was intriguing to me because the Nuggets continued to be kind of in a weird situation where they're starting to get a little respect from the sports books. I mean, the first thing that jumped out to me about yesterday's line was the fact that it was 6.5, and it opened at 6.5, and really all the other games, or, you know, the first two there, the spread was around 7.5 or 7. So right off the bat, when I saw an opener at 6.5, it told me, okay, the books are a little fearful of this Nuggets team, who is very resilient. When they get down, they battle back and play well. So obviously a huge hit. You know, the line was pretty static the whole time. It was 6.5. It really didn't move. But again, the importance of looking at moves, you know, right before tip off. That's when limits are highest. That's when the big bets come in. When I saw a couple books drop 6.5 to 6, that to me was a sure sign that, okay, you know, it does look like the Nuggets and the points are a value play in this one. So Nuggets back in this series, obviously they're down 2-1. And remember, we talked, Pritch, yesterday, if you like the Nuggets to come back at all, when they were down 2-0, they're plus 2,000 to come back, 20-1 in this series to come back. They're now plus 550. So, you know, you may miss the boat there if you think they can come back in this series, but obviously a great win for a very, very feisty Nuggets team that's easy to root for and cash another big one last night.
Yeah, mental toughness and a team that's figured out a way to perform in the playoffs at a high level. I think people are excited about that, certainly. One of the things that you just talked about, though, with that line, not only the books respecting the Nuggets, but the smart money, too, and that's something that you track, Josh.
Of course. And again, yeah, to me, you know, it's surprising to me because I think the public still likes the Lakers, the name on the jersey, kind of the mantra of the Lakers and LeBron and Anthony Davis. And you still have that. But I think the public is starting to, you know, lean a little bit here on the Nuggets getting the points. And they're just kind of a trendy dog that usually I like to fade trendy dogs because they come overvalued. But it's kind of like we saw in that Clippers series. If you keep giving the Nuggets points, it's hard not to grab them with the points in these spots here. You know, the one play that didn't cash here, Pritch, was it was for quite a bit of time a bit of a sharp underplay. It was around 213.5. It kind of got down to around 213, 214, and it looked like it was going to be a pretty good underplay. And then you saw late money push that up. It got around to 214.5, ended up sailing over, you know, and having an overcash here. And the funny thing is, overs are now 4-2 in the conference finals, the East and the West combined, which is weird because overall in the playoffs, unders are about 61-62%. That's a trend we got to continue to monitor. But obviously, if you had jumped on the plus 2,000 Nuggets series price and they're down 2-0, you're feeling pretty good today.
Feeling pretty good, feeling great. And also that plus money situation too, you jumped on that. A lot of people happy about that too, Josh. One of the things when you think about this game, this matchup, Lakers up 2-1, the Nuggets back in it. LeBron had a triple-double. AD had 27 points. The Joker did not play that strongly. I mean, he had a great game, but didn't score from that side of the ledger in terms of the contribution from points. But you did get contribution from Jeremy Grant and Jamal Murray. So you wonder here, even with LeBron and a triple-double and AD scoring almost 30 points, and yet the Nuggets still found a way to not only dominate, but hold on and be resistant to that late Lakers run. I mean, that was impressive there.
It was really impressive. And I think what you like about the Nuggets, obviously, if you talk about top end talent, you know, high end talent, no one's going to beat LeBron and Anthony Davis. They're, you know, head and shoulders, two of the best players in the league. But I think you're starting to see the Nuggets kind of team basketball really, really benefit them, especially when you're getting deeper in the playoffs. They have a lot of youth and they have a lot of, you know, big guys who can play the wing, who can shoot and stretch the floor. And even with the Lakers, you see their guys put up numbers, but they're not getting much from their supporting cast. I think, again, you're missing Avery Bradley. You've had Danny Green, who hasn't really done much for them. So LeBron and AD can only do so much. And I think what makes the Nuggets very dangerous is when you get a guy like Jeremy Grant to, you know, pump in 26 points for you, because you kind of expect the Joker and you expect Murray to be great. But when you're starting to get, you know, that secondary scoring, and, you know, Jeremy Grant kind of reminds me of Jay Crowder on the Heat. He's a guy who continues to knock down those threes, and when those are falling, that's when the Nuggets are tough to beat. And again, they're a scrappy team, and now we're going to see how long the series can go. I think you can actually get some plus money on this series to go 6 or 7 games, and I don't think that's a bad play at all. To me, this is going to be a fight for the rest of the series.
Sure. Right now, you can get plus 210 for 6, plus 350 for 7, if you think that's going to happen there. Nuggets, if you want to get crazy with series odds, plus 550, but that's available. You know, the Nuggets feel great. You know, listening to some of the comments and talking to some people out there in Denver, they feel like they're in a good spot right now as they get back into the series. The confidence is up. They feel like they would have withstood the Lakers' onslaught. And now, okay, let's put up our best effort. And in fact, Josh, the Nuggets think that they should have won game 2. How about that?
Yeah. Hey, and that's the kind of mentality that you like. I mean, you know, this could become a snowball effect. You know, I'm looking already, you know, toward the next game here, where you've actually already seen a little bit of a move toward the Nuggets. This opened for this next upcoming game, which you would expect the Lakers to come out blazing here and try to get back and you know, get command of the series. This next game opens 6.5. It's down to 6. So right automatically, another kind of low end line that's moving toward the Nuggets, which I think is definitely very critical here. But the thing that I like with the Nuggets, of course, is just if this snowball effect takes place, they're taking on that underdog mentality. And that mm-hmm. can be very, and Pritch, you've been on teams where, yes. you know, people don't respect you. People don't like you. You know, I'm from New England. Belichick's been doing that for 20 years, even though it's kind of manufactured. No one doesn't believe the Patriots, but he created that kind of that rallying cry. And I think that's what you're getting with the Nuggets. And it just seems like a team that is embracing that role. And I think that's really benefiting them.
They believe that everybody loves them, you know, not the fact that everybody hates the Lakers. Everybody loves the Lakers, but yet the Nuggets feel like everybody loves them. Moving over to the East, Josh, we got the Heat and the Celtics game 4, interesting matchup here. I know people with some action on the series and then certainly looking for more developments as the series plays out. How do you see this one between the Celtics and the Heat tonight?
So I'm you know, eagle eye glued to this okay. line here, and yep. I'm tracking it pretty closely. I can't wait to watch this game tonight, Pritch. But we got a lot of things going on here, and for both the spread and the total. So number one, this is a public play to the Celtics, but you also had a lot of sharp action to the Celtics early. And this is the importance of jumping on a good number before it moves. So this line opened at Boston -2.5. Remember, they were down 2-0. You had Marcus Smart kind of create a screaming match in the locker room that really lit a fire under the Celtics and helped them to win that last game. They also got Gordon Hayward back. Does this layoff here? You had a 3 or 4 day break. You know, on the one hand, you can say that's really beneficial to the Celts because now you can have Gordon Hayward have more time to acclimate and get ready. But also, does it break their momentum? That's another thing. You know, they are riding high after that game. They probably want to get right back out on the court. But what I'm looking at just in terms, you know, take that, push that all aside, open -2.5 Celtics. It's all the way up to -3.5. You're seeing a combination of, I think, smart money early on the Celtics, -2.5, even -3. But now we're creeping up to a situation where I think you're starting to create value on the Miami Heat because it's at 3.5 now. To me, the key number is 4. If you see Miami Heat go to 4, that's going to be a spot where you're actually buying low on a Heat team who throughout the season, they've been really good off a loss and battling back. So just couple stats here, Pritch, for it. Off a loss, they're 24-7 straight up this year, and they're 23-8 against the spread. So that kind of speaks to a veteran team and a bounce back factor there. The other thing I'm looking at here with the total is, I know a lot of public bettors love betting overs. You know, I'm more of an under guy because you can just kind of go contrarian and take advantage of inflated lines. But this does look like a pretty sharp overplay because it opened at 210.5. It's up to 211.5. Some books are even at 212. Again, sharps move numbers, you know, average Joes don't. So you have some big money coming in on the over. But to me, the reason why you like the over, not just in a vacuum, the line moved over, but number one, a layoff. You know, these days off, I think, benefit the offense more than the defense. You can rest up, get your energy back. And then also, you have three referees tonight, Pritch, who historically are very good to the over. You have the trifecta here, Scott Foster, notorious Scott Foster, Tony Brothers, and Trey Maddox, all pretty good historically, at least the last decade, to the over. So the over is definitely intriguing to me tonight.
And that's good to know. You know, I don't want to know officials' names unless they can affect the line, right?
Exactly.
You know, you think about, I think from a casual bettor standpoint, like last night's game, we saw the energy put out by the Nuggets, right? On both ends of the court, and specifically defensively. When you think about these two teams, the Heat and Boston, we know that they can ball and we know that they can play defense. And so with the layoff, you think the energy would pick up and, okay, maybe the under is the play. But what you mentioned, not only with the officiating, but then also the layoff, Miami can score from wherever and with whoever. And then you think about Hayward back into the mix too for Boston. Maybe the over is a better play.
Yeah, and that's really what's what I'm focusing on again, because we got to remember, unders have done great this postseason. Again, they're 60% to the under this postseason, so it always scares you betting an over in a playoff game, just because there is more emphasis on defense, and typically you are going to get some lower scoring games. But I think the situation here, I look at it as, Pritch, remember our Game 7 under trend where you get late into a series, your legs are tired, the under does very well. Now you're getting a break. Now you're getting a situation where you can rest and, you know, got any, you know, bumps and bruises, you can rehab that a little bit too. So again, you could say it would benefit defensive, you know, clamping down and playing good defense. But to me, I think it benefits, you know, your jump shot, having your legs, pushing the ball, running up and down the court, that sort of thing. So the combination of that with the line moving up with these three historical over refs, I think that's why you see a little bit of value here to the over.
And great coaching too. So we'll definitely see some adjustments. You think about the series odds, Josh. The Heat minus 136, Celtics plus 115. Two mirror images of each other here when you think about these two teams. What about from a series standpoint, odds, five games plus 400 for Miami, six games plus 350 for Miami. All favorite Miami there for the plus money. And then when you get to Boston, plus 400 in six, and then seven, plus 300 for Boston, plus 400 for Miami.
Yeah, so a couple things jump out there to me. Number one, betting on either team to win deep into the series. To me, this is a series that does look like it's pretty evenly matched. It's 2-1 Heat now, but yeah. I see a six-game, seven-game series. I mean, the two teams that are really going to go back and forth. I think you're really going to start to see things heat up after this break and this layoff. But yeah, I'd look toward plus money to a late-end series. And also, you may not be getting a much better number than you are right now on the Celtics. They're down 2-1. You know, they're depending on where you're looking at, around plus 115 to win this series. Also, if you think they can win this series, I think you buy low a little bit on their NBA Finals odds because the Heat have better odds. I think they're around plus 500, Celtics around plus 600. That's something I would look to. But again, to me, getting Gordon Hayward back, Celtics were favored to begin with. They're down 2-1. I think if anything, maybe their numbers only get worse if they get to the win tonight.
Yeah, you look at the six games, you know, plus 350 for Miami, plus 400 for Boston. It tells you how evenly matched these teams are, right? I mean, you're giving plus money either way. The books are playing both sides here, I believe.
Yeah, they really are. And again, this is depending on your viewpoint of how this series is going to go. You know, if it goes seven, you know, in a way you could kind of take both teams to win in seven, you know, 400 each if you get lucky there. But to me, I'm going game by game, but I think the Celts are undervalued at this point, just in terms of being down 2-1. Maybe the Heat steal it tonight, but the way this line is moving to Boston, you've seen more smart money on the Celts to cover tonight. You know, value is on the Heat,
right?
But the line moving to Boston tells me, you know, money line situation, just win the game. Boston is favored tonight.
Yeah, you are in Boston. Celts, I got that reference. What about the Crowder influence here? I think if he's all over Kemba Walker tonight, if he feels like that's going to be the guy who's going to man him up. But I don't know if that's going to happen. But Crowder, I think, is ready for this matchup tonight.
Crowder, definitely. I mean, remember when he was on the Celtics when they were kind of that scrappy team that went deep in the playoffs? He was kind of a glue guy. But yeah, he's been shooting the ball great. And again, to me, I liken him to Jeremy Grant on the Nuggets. Just similar players who are considered glue guys, not really thought of for their offense, but can really shoot the ball. And when they're knocking down shots, I think that's a big advantage. So yeah, I think what do you see from Goran Dragic? That's another intriguing thing to me. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of a bit of a rough game. He's an older player. I think this layoff is going to benefit your older players in this series. So maybe Jimmy Butler too. He kind of called out his team and said, you know, they didn't fight hard enough. They didn't play hard enough. So I think you're going to get a good effort from both teams. And I got to admit, Pritch, I'm going to root for the Celtics as a Boston fan, but +4 with the Heat. If you can get the +4, hard to lay off that, in my opinion.
There's nothing wrong with that either. You can be a fan and then also cash a ticket at the same time. Softens the blow right there, Josh. As betting across America continues right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Josh and I are going to examine 2-0 teams and the chances of them making the playoffs in the National Football League. That's next. Basketball, baseball, and hockey action at BetMGM Sports isn't enough for you. Football is back at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you the best sports book and casino action in Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID and open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. If you're excited about the return of basketball, baseball, and hockey, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you, along with Josh Applebaum. And Josh, our producer JJ came up with something interesting, another betting angle here that we can talk about. I love this. 2-0 teams that will not make the playoffs. How about this? 11 teams started 2-0 this season. Since 1990, more than 60% of teams starting 2-0 make the playoffs. That means 40% misses the playoffs. And it's up to us to find out which teams this year are best bets to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, so I think one that jumps out to me, Pritch, here would be just off the top of my head, the Rams. I think they've been great to start. Obviously, they're 2-0, and it's funny because I'm looking at this line for this game this Sunday where the Rams open getting 3 at Buffalo. It's now down to 2.5, some even 2s out there. Public continues to load up on the Rams. And again, they've looked good, but they now, if you think about it, they've beaten a Dallas team who really didn't play much defense and was probably very overrated, and they beat a Philly team that is looking to be maybe one of the worst teams in football at this point. So I see them being a little overvalued. I see actually the Bills laying anything below 2.5 with some value this weekend. But to me, what jumps out to me is just the division they play in. I think if you're going to bet any of these, these kind of prop bets, futures bets, I would look at, you know, a lot of division games we haven't seen yet. And if you're in a really tough division, like if you're the Rams, I mean, you're going to have to play the Seahawks twice. Arizona is no slouch. Just that whole, then the 49ers, again, they've been hit by injuries, but that's no cakewalk either. So that would be a team that I would consider, just that jumped out to me in terms of a tough division. But what do you think, Pritch? Any of these teams that jump out to you, maybe overachievers early that you think are really going to come back down to earth?
It really is an interesting angle. You have the Raiders at -176. They're the favorite to not, well, actually Bears and the Rams. When you think about, -121, -150, Raiders -176, though, they have not made the playoffs in a number of years, certainly have not won a playoff game since 2002. But to make the playoffs in this division, you think about the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City, okay, the situation with the Chargers, too, that's intriguing. Plus money situations, though, with the Titans and that division, that's kind of interesting. And the Steelers at +200. I know the Steelers are a favorite team, a public team, but that would be a bet that Ben Roethlisberger does not complete the entire year. If you're looking at plus money situations right there, that one, it doesn't stand out, but I'm taking a look at that, though.
Yeah, to be honest, a lot of these plus money teams, they all look like playoff teams to me. So it's kind of tough. Obviously, you're getting a decent payout here, but I would agree with you. The Steelers possibly, but you do remember last year they went 8-8 with, Devlin Hodges and Mason Rudolph.
Right.
And, that kind of tells you even if Roethlisberger, again, I think you're right, that's a bet on Roethlisberger getting hurt again, which it's football. It's a violent game. It could happen. You never know. But again, even if he's out, they proved last year that with some backup quarterbacks, they can still, compete for a playoff spot. So I'm with you there. That's probably where I'd lean. The Titans, to me, I kind of like the Titans. I like Vrabel kind of building that foundation. It seems like what's funny is they haven't covered a single game this year, Pritch, but they're 2-0, and now they're walking into the Vikings where they're -1.5 to -2.5. So, again, it's tough to me, looking at these plus money spots, but I would agree with you. I think the Rams, to me, would be the play. Also intrigued by Raiders and Bears.
Even with the extra playoff spot, remember they have added an extra playoff spot this year for each conference. So even armed with that knowledge, you look at these, do you look at these odds differently now or the same way?
Yeah, a little bit, knowing that, you are going to get that extra playoff spot. I think that's important. The other thing I would look at is, compare these teams to kind of their season win totals and, kind of how Vegas viewed these teams going into the season. Obviously, it may not apply that much just because it's a very unpredictable year with, with COVID
yeah.
and just kind of, we're seeing injuries happen at a high rate here with lack of preseason. But sometimes these teams kind of come back to, they regress to kind of where the odds makers who are so good kind of thought they would be begin with. So if you see a big discrepancy, that's something I would look at.
Okay. Interesting angle right there, though. I like it. I like those kind of angles when we're talking about betting right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up next, Cupcake City or not, it's the SEC. That's next. Are you betting on this weekend's football games? There's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this weekend. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, which is our digital betting guide, NFL power ratings and picks from our experts are inside that guide, a 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all of our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe today to start your risk-free trial. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, when you think about the SEC, and I tease it this way on purpose, because typically the SEC is Cupcake City when they start their season, right? Appalachian State or Alabama State Tech or somebody like that. I mean, that's typically how they start their season. But this is an all SEC schedule, different circumstances. You think about the schedule, Florida at Ole Miss to start the season. Florida, I believe, is a -14.5 favorite here on the road.
Yeah, these games are interesting to me because I'm starting to look at a bunch of numbers flying across the board here. You know, one that did jump out to me, Pritch, and I wanted to get your take on it, was Mississippi State and LSU. So you have Mississippi State, unranked, obviously, LSU, big powerhouse school, number six, national champs. You know, I think the importance here is with these conference games, typically just in general, conference play is somewhat of an equalizer, and the familiarity, I put that up with, you know, divisional dogs and football or divisional dogs in baseball. It kind of benefits the team getting points in these spots. You know, obviously Alabama and these Clemson teams are kind of the exception to the rule. It seems they roll every time, but this one just jumped out to me with LSU in terms of, you know, a new quarterback, Joe Burrow's gone. You heard Coach O talk about how, you know, so many of his players have had COVID. He's got a ton of new starters, a bunch of guys, I think 14 play, or, you know, a ridiculous amount are left to go to the NFL. So there's a ton of turnover taking place at LSU. And they're playing this spot here where against Mississippi State, ranked versus unranked, public is all over LSU laying the points. But I've seen a little bit of movement here to Mississippi State. Some of these books open LSU minus 18.5. It's down to minus 17. So, Pritch, maybe just your thoughts on LSU. Obviously, a bunch of turnover here. Does it not matter? Are they just going to, you know, bring in the next group of great guys here? Or do you think there could be any struggles with the Tigers here?
There could be struggles. I think when you lose a quarterback like Joe Burrow, yes, you're excited about the guy who sat behind him, and you feel good about the fact that, okay, we recruited this guy. He's within the program. He's been within the program, but you've never seen him play, though. I mean, how many times did he get on the field last year with Burrow doing his thing? But this is tricky. I dove deep into college football in terms of just trying to find angles here, Josh, information too. When you think about recruiting, like, who's recruited the best over the last 3 years? And from a talent standpoint, Georgia has recruited very, very well when you're considering the SEC and certainly that program and where they are right now. But staying on LSU, Jamar Chase, I believe his name, the receiver that opted out, that's a big weapon. That's going to be a big miss there too for any quarterback. So defensively, I think Coach O has done a great job in terms of just finding spots on the field for athletes. So LSU is going to be incredibly athletic on the field. I don't know much about Mississippi State, and therefore I feel comfortable laying that kind of a margin there for LSU.
I think it's a good point. And I think one important thing to remember here, Pritch, you know, talking about recruiting and, you know, a lot of stability. Are these, you know, teams who are returning a lot of starters, and is the coaching staff intact? Who had more spring practices, stuff like that?
Yeah.
So a lot of these games too, Pritch, you know, for the weekend, the public isn't really, I think they're a little bit behind the eight ball. I don't see a ton of bets coming in, not compared to like an NFL weekend. So I would monitor these lines as they develop throughout the week. But one system that I would look at, which has done pretty well for me, if you don't see an edge with you know, many spreads here, is hot weather overs. So, you know, it's cooling down a little bit. I'm in New England. It feels a little bit like fall, Pritch, but you know, it's still hot around much of the country. And one system that I look at is when it's 80 degrees or hotter, or 85 degrees or hotter, and you see this total at least rise about 1 point. Historically, you're looking at about a 56% to the over. So it could be a situation where, you know, with so much uncertainty, maybe you want to wait until late, see if any, you know, obviously sharp plays come in that really catch your eye. But that's a total system that I've leaned on that's done pretty good, especially if you like to root for points. And I think, you know, Pritch, when it's hot out, I think that does benefit the offense, right?
It can. You know, college football is just so interesting to me right now, Josh, because there's so many unknowns. I think even what you mentioned about spring ball, I mean, that was so long ago. That can you really rely on that kind of information, right? And okay, really, what kind of ramp up or acclimation have you had in college football now that your season is starting differently than it normally does, right? And okay, training camp was probably different. You had to overcome COVID too, if you're LSU and certainly some other teams. I just want to look at talent. College football too, very basic from an offensive standpoint. There's really no complicated nature there. It's probably pure athleticism out there on the field, and it, probably same thing with defenses too. So rely on that system that you have right there. It's been working for you.
Definitely. And I think that's all really, really critical here. But the other thing I would look at, you know, I'm looking at just some games coming up this weekend, not SEC, but Louisville and Pittsburgh. So Louisville, you know, they're 1-1. Pittsburgh's 2-0. Pittsburgh's had a couple big wins here, 21-10 over Cuse, although Syracuse covered that game. Remember that big blowout against Austin Peay, 55-0.
Yeah.
But I think you could have a buy low opportunity on Louisville here, Pritch. Louisville had a big opening week win, but then they lost at home to Miami in primetime. And I always like kind of buying low on teams that lose in prime time, because those are very heavily watched, heavily bet games, and the public's just going to remember that loss, and maybe they took them as a short favorite in that game. And as a result, you know, what you're looking at here is maybe a buy low spot on Louisville, because two ranked teams, and yet we've seen this line open around 3, 3.5. It's fallen a little bit toward Louisville on that 3. All the hooks that were +3.5 got scooped up by sharp bettors on Louisville. So that's one game I'm monitoring, possibly some value on Louisville there.
No, that's a good angle too, Josh. You know, you think about the public, they did see Louisville play, and maybe that action from a contrary standpoint that you can take advantage of there, certainly relying on those market insights that you provide. That's awesome. That is very awesome. LSU too, Mississippi State, other SEC games, Georgia at Arkansas, Alabama at Missouri, Vanderbilt at Texas A&M, Tennessee at South Carolina, a big SEC schedule right there. I'm not a big fan of the SEC. I never have been, maybe because I was in the old Big Eight. But again, it's just cupcake city in that conference. But I'll be interested to see how they start off their season this year with an all SEC schedule. Coming up next, Josh and I talked about 2-0 teams that didn't make the playoffs. How about 0-2 teams that could make the playoffs? That's coming up next. September is showtime at BetMGM Sports, and they're offering new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on the Heat versus Celtics game. And if either team hits a three, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Heat versus Celtics game. And if either team hits a three, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, we talked about 2-0 teams that could miss the playoffs. We gave the odds on that situation. How about 0-2 teams starting in the wrong fashion, in the wrong way, going in the wrong direction, and their chances to make the playoffs? Interesting angles here from a betting perspective.
Totally agree with you, Pritch. And yeah, thanks to our producer, JJ, here. Right. You know, 11 teams have started 0-2. You know, history tells us that only about 13% of those teams end up making the playoffs. So you're already up against it. You go 0-2 to start, you're really unlikely to make the playoffs. But as always in betting, you know, let's see if we can maybe get one of those teams that's at in that 13% rate. Looking at the you know, the favorites here, the Eagles +150, Vikings +175, Texans +200. I would look at the Texans. I'm looking at this list here, and really the Texans are the only team that intrigues me a little bit, because I think if you look at Houston, they still have a, you know, a top end quarterback. And to me, if you're going to bet on a team to make the playoffs, you know, high quarterback play with Deshaun Watson. So you have that. They've also won this division, you know, quite a few times throughout the years. They have a bit of a pedigree here. It's kind of a down division overall, even though we've seen the Jags be a little competitive, and the Titans be okay. The Colts are the Colts. But really why I would like the Texans, if you're making me pick, is just because look at who they played, Pritch. I mean, they're 0-2, but not all 0-2 teams are created equally. I mean, they've played the two best teams by far in the NFL. They lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Ravens. You're never going to play any other team the rest of the schedule that is as good as those two teams there. So
yeah.
If you made me pick a team, I would buy low on the Texans. But what do you think, Pritch? Any other, and do you agree with that, or any others jump out to you?
I want to agree with you, Josh, but I don't know if I can, because they could be staring 0-3 in the face this weekend when they play the Steelers at the Steelers. They're on the road. I look at the situation with O'Brien. People want him out of there. Dysfunctional from the front office perspective. They're not all on the same page there. And then you're right about Deshaun Watson. I think he's incredible. The thing about, too, with the Texans, they got a first-time offensive coordinator calling plays. That's hard. And then you have a first-time defensive coordinator trying to figure it out. That's even harder. Eventually they do. I think the schedule gets easier for them, certainly after the Steelers, with a chance to get back to 500. So I see why you like it. I do. I guess it's what you said. If you're forced to bet it, that's how I would approach the Houston Texans right now.
Yeah, and I think comparing, you know, these two prop bets, I actually, you know, now that I look at it more, I kind of like some of these 2-0 teams to miss the playoffs more than I do anyone on that list 0-2 to make it. So it's kind of funny. But, you know, you bring up the Texans and we talk about the Steelers. And, yes, the Steelers are favored in this upcoming game here. So oddsmakers are saying, you know, they're the team expected to win. But I tell you what, Pritch, I'm a Texans guy today. I don't know what it is. But the Texans are a team that, to me, this week – has a lot of value. So remember this week, you know, kind of the theme that if you go on gambling Twitter, a lot of people are talking about, and it's no longer a good kept secret. It's the fact that teams that start 0-2 and both straight up and against the spread are very, very valuable plays, cashing or covering at about a 60% clip over the last few years. So you kind of think, why is that the case? It really is just because the public is, you know, if they had bet on any of these teams that lost both games and failed to cover, you're mad at those teams. You hate these teams because they took your money from your Pritch. So what are you going to do? You want to immediately bet against them. You don't want to touch them. Odds makers know this, so they're going to shade these lines a little bit against these teams. So you're actually getting better numbers to buy low. I think that's why these teams in week three do pretty well. So Houston would match that, you know, 0-2 straight up and against the spread. And look at the line movement. Pittsburgh open in this game, depending where you're looking at, around a 6-point favorite. They're down to 4. Even though you have about 2/3 of bets backing Pittsburgh. So I think you're looking at a desperate Texans team, Steelers 2-0. That's kind of a recipe of a sell high, buy low on the Texans. And I agree with you. There's a lot of things about the Texans that you don't like, but this is maybe more of playing a number and a historical trend taking them this week.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the number and certainly that matchup. I mean, it favors that situation that you just alluded to. I'm just looking at the overall big picture for the Texans and knowing how much they're struggling right now and what it's going to take for them to get on track. Maybe they do it this week. Maybe they do. Some other odds there when you think about 0-2 teams to make the playoffs. How about the Falcons at plus 450?
Falcons are intriguing. Again, playing in that division. I mean, it's tough to be an Atlanta Falcons fan. You know, they're just coming off that last weekend. I mean, the funny thing is, I took the Falcons in the points and they covered for me. That was a crazy hit there. But really, I feel bad for anyone who took them on the money line. Just an awful, you know, Pritch, why don't you jump on the onside kick there? Like, can I ask you that? Why didn't they? Did they just block up, you know, brain freeze, or what happened there? Where was their special teams corner? Don't you go over those plays in football?
You do. So I'm glad you asked the question, because we can break it down. Like typically in a hands team, the hands team is behind the blockers. The blockers are on the front line, right? So now that the rules have changed, you have 5x5, you can no longer overload a side. So the guys that are in front are the blockers. There's one guy on that side who's a hands guy. Now his responsibility is to get the football, and he knows that. But for whatever reason, the guys who were assigned to block or keep, in this case, the Cowboys off of the Falcon players, they surrounded the ball too. It's like, I don't know what they thought that ball was at that moment, but they certainly didn't even keep the guys away from the hands guy. If you look at the hands team, there's only one person responsible for catching the high kick or the dribble kick and then the bounce that you're prepared for. Everybody else up front is a blocker typically.
Yeah, great explanation there, Pritch. And we know it's funny to me, like I'm a hockey guy too. And, you know, it's like sometimes you play a puck with a high stick and whoever touches it, they blow the whistle. So no one wants to touch it. So it's kind of like in that football game where no one for whatever reason wanted to grab the ball there. Hot potato, exactly. And hey, if you had a live line, the Cowboys, when they're down, you know, 20-0 or down late, I think they were, you know, close to like +500 to come back and win that game. But just talking about the Falcons, you know, looking at this week in general, they would be an 0-2 team that's favored to win the game. So that is notable if they can get back to 1-2. What I'm looking at here, though, is it's funny. The public is on the Falcons here. I would think that they would just be so disgusted with that loss and, you know, take the Bears 2-0 and give me the points. But yet we're seeing a lot of betting, about 2/3 of bets on Atlanta at home. Maybe it's just that high scoring, you know, fantasy point offense that the public is really, you know, leaning on here. But I tell you what, Pritch, looking at the Chicago Bears, I don't think they're a bad play this week. You have heavy betting here on Atlanta. Atlanta opened around 3, even 3.5. They're down to 3 at some shops. So it looks to me the Bears, and buying low on Michael Lombardi's favorite player in the world, MVP Mitch here, maybe keep it close. But what's your cap on Bears in Atlanta coming up this weekend, Pritch?
I like their defense. I do. I like Chicago's defense. I think they'll get it on track. Pagano, you know, taking over for Vic Fangio. They're getting used to him still, but still elite players on that side of the ball defensively for Chicago. Trubisky, if he didn't wake up because of the quarterback competition, eventually he's going to get there, right? Eventually he's going to know and understand what's expected of him. I am concerned about the injuries, though, with the running back position and certainly Allen Robinson, that situation too. Maybe that resolves itself. But there's some talent with Chicago. Atlanta is intriguing. I think stadiums are starting to open up a little bit, so you're going to see some fans start to come in and trickle into the stadiums there. And then Atlanta, the Falcons offensively, it doesn't get any better than that. Really, when you consider the weapons that Matt Ryan has. So they have to get it going. They have to get into rhythm and certainly continue scoring touchdowns, not dropping touchdowns like Julio did last week. And then defensively, Quinn, he has to get it right. You know, I'm worried about their defense, though, from a lack of talent. They've lost a tremendous amount of players over the years, Josh. So maybe that's going to hamper them a little bit.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. You know, the other team I'm looking at here, talking about these 0-2 teams, would be the Vikings. The Vikings are surprising to me, just starting out 0-2. Maybe you can shed some light on what's going on there in Minnesota. They just don't seem like the team that we've grown accustomed to in these past few years. And, you know, what's funny is the Colts were a great hit last weekend with everyone loading up on Minnesota, and yet you saw the Colts go -3 to -3.5. But looking at this weekend, I don't think it gets any easier, Pritch, because Minnesota is at home, which is great. But again, no fans in the stands. So what advantage is that? And Tennessee, you're going up against a Tennessee team that is 2-0, is 0-2 against the spread. But Tennessee opened around -1.5, and we've seen this line go up to -2.5. I think it may even go to 3. To me, that's a combination of both, you know, casual money and some sharp money loading up on the Titans before you get to that key number 3. So it looks to me like, you know, Titans, again, with a line move on the road, not laying a very big number, are, you know, a play to keep an eye out for this weekend. But Pritch, what's up with the Vikings? Can you give me an X's and O's? Why aren't they playing the way we expect them to?
I can. I'll put it this way. I've never seen a star wide receiver want to leave his quarterback. Stephon Diggs wanted to get the hell out of there. So that tells you all you need to know in terms of Kirk Cousins and what he brings to the table. I've never seen that, where a star wide receiver wants to leave. I mean, could you imagine Jerry Rice saying, okay, I don't want to play with Joe Montana anymore. I want to go somewhere else, right? Stephon Diggs is a premier player. Produces mightily for the Vikings. He has anyway. Look what he's doing with Buffalo. But when you think about Cousins, you think about Cook, contract situation right there. New coordinator Gary Kubiak's been out the game for a while in terms of coordination and calling plays. I think Vikings are just up against it behind the eight ball. They lose people defensively too. Zim's got a tough job in front of him, Josh, and it's showing out right now. It's playing out that way for the Vikings. So we'll see if they get back on track. We'll get back on track in hour number 2 with Andy McNeil, and we'll dive into the NHL. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.